Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening, and Merry Christmas season to everybody. It's Dr. John, and welcome.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho is right. Well, welcome to Pop Culture. It's so good to have all my friends here. I only got five of them. I'm having all five here. Thank you. Tonight our special guest is Will Williams, actor and producer, and we have, of course, we're fortunate to have our good friend, the Queen of Sparkle, is one of our co-hosts tonight. So I'll start as usual and ask everybody how they're doing. Papa Rose, how are you doing tonight?
I'll drink to that. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How's everything in Emerald Isle? Cold?
Freezing.
Yeah, it's cold
down here.
Cold,
I got to go with your idea of freezing and my idea of freezing are two very different things.
It's not my idea. It's what's happening. My ass is freezing. Literally freezing. I got the electric blanket on my ass to keep it warm.
Wow.
I wish it was an idea. God forbid.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're glad you're here. Even though it's cold, we're glad you're here from beautiful, beautiful Emerald Isle. Pop Stroke, they can have you with us as usual.
I'll rub it in. And rub it in.
I will. Day that way. What?
Hey, I'm doing good, and man, I'm doing much like Stro. Went to go do the show outside, and didn't take long to decide when it's the old joke how the right side of my right ball has frozen to the left side of my right leg. It didn't take long, so decided to do it inside. But like to announce, though, before we get rolling, there is a new addition to the Atwell family. We we adopted a rescue dog this Saturday.
Oh,
her name's Sadie.
That's very
and
cool.
She's,
Sadie.
Yeah, she's Staffordshire / chocolate lab / mutt. And I always knew that Missy was a big dog, being a Mastiff and everything, but then when you get a normal dog and you stand them up beside her, I swear, it's like having a cow in the house. So, but Sadie's, yeah, I mean, all the pictures you take, it just looks so odd. It's like, how'd you hold the camera that way? No, that's the size of the dog, you know? But
well, congratulations on being a new puppy daddy.
That's
awesome. Yeah, she's real cuddly and everything, a little shy, and but she's a little clingy, but she's coming along very well, adapting. And, you know, for day number five, she's doing fairly well and cruising around along. I've learned that she is definitely a cuddler, when you wake up in the morning and you've got nothing but two hind legs laying across your face, and I'm like, is my face in this dog's backside?
Been there.
Yeah, so.
Sure that it's the dog, though, because that wouldn't be a bad way to wake up.
No,
right.
And yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, this dog here has got to be the rottenest dog you have ever. When this dog farts, I thought when Misty farted, she could peel the wallpaper off the walls. But this little hound right here, I'm here to tell you, she might weigh 40 pounds, but you thought there'd be like a dead whale carcass. Yeah, she is nothing. Lord Flatulence, you know what I mean?
And the rocket's red glare. Bombs bursting in here.
For not in the air.
Wait a minute. Are you still? I'm betting that you got a second dog just to tell Dale that it was the dog.
Yeah. Well, truth. Yeah.
The dog.
Told though. I've learned not to turn her loose by herself, because I started getting these random dog pics from her Saturday when I was at work. And
dog porn, oh my God.
And I says, what are you doing? Because I could already smell something happening, you know? And, you know, she's supposed to be out Christmas shopping, and what happens? She comes back with a dog. So, you know, like I said, I'm a dog guy. I'm a sucker for dogs, so I can handle it.
What's the dog's name?
Like you gotta love them, man. You gotta love them.
Yeah,
right.
Dogs are great.
What's your new dog's name?
You do realize she's going to know the difference between the new dog fart smell and yours, so it doesn't really matter because she's going to say, that's conveniently the same smell as it was before the new dog joined.
Yeah. Hey, my dog has an old fart smell. Yeah.
Well, you got a new female dog. I bet she's a real dog.
It's an acquired smell. An acquired smell.
Yeah.
Most farts are quite like beer, but okay.
I'll load up on some pickled eggs and Paps one night, and I'll just lay them all out. Revenge be mine. I am the higher, what's the word you're looking for? The higher intelligence?
Power?
That's it.
Pickled eggs and peppers.
Darn right.
Well, Dave, thank you for the very graphic description of
a fart.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Fartomania.
We will move right along. And we'll move right along to say, Ty, what are you doing tonight, bud?
Oh, man. I am outstanding the supernatural. And I got to tell you, I know that new dog is walking around Dave's house saying, here, pull my paw. I'm going to be the same way at work tomorrow. I was, we had, one of our coworkers was in from Vegas, and last day was today, and I gave her a ride back to where she was staying with some friends, and I go in there, and they saw my narrow ass, and they were in the middle of dinner, and they're like, come on, sit down, you got to eat this some more, you're too skinny. Man, I sat there, and like homemade salsa verde, they did this beef thing, and it's, oh, Lord.
Were they Italian? Were they Italian?
No, they were actually, it was all Mexican food with the homemade salsa verde. So,
okay. I guess it was the Italian family. Oh, my God. Look out. It was the Italian family.
The funny thing is, green Mexican spaghetti. So it was like, it was the same thing.
Wow.
It was, homemade tortillas.
Oh, man. But that was good.
Oh, yeah. They can stand by at work tomorrow. They can stand by at work tomorrow. And just for the record, you guys whining about cold up there. You guys are sitting about 38 degrees with your wind where it's at. We didn't even hit 38. We didn't even hit 38 degrees today. I'm there. 25 degree wind chill. We had snow most of the day, and and they're treating the road because it's going to be slicker and not on a doorknob tomorrow morning.
At least
they dropped the.
We get that Dollar General type snow.
Yeah, we get that ice.
Yeah.
Well, it just sounds like it's a barrel of much fun as a barrel of monkeys up there, Todd. But we're glad you're here with us. We know you're cold.
Bear monkey.
It's kind of warmed up here a little bit. Thank goodness. It's up to about 42, and I mean, thank goodness I can stand outside and enjoy it. And anyway, we're glad to have you here. And
rub it in.
I know. And the Queen of Sparkle is with us. Queen of Sparkle, Liz, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for being
here. Man, I am living the dream. You guys, get the chill. Joking with you guys, talking to dog fart.
Highlight of the day.
Endeavor. I met you guys, and last week was perfect, so here I am again.
Outstanding.
We're glad you're with us tonight, is all I've got to say. And you keep on coming back whenever you can. It's always a lot of fun. Glad to have you with us. And again, I'm here for beautiful Myrtle Beach, a beautiful, beautiful calm Myrtle Beach. And I was
rub it in degrees. Again. Oh my God.
I'm going
to. We
I'm
can take the hint.
No, no more. I'm done with it. No, it's been a good
no,
time Myrtle
not.
Beach, and I cannot complain. So anyway. Yeah.
He's in paradise.
Paradise. I need a paradise. I need a paradise to start rolling. Because I need a paradise. But anyway, glad to have the crew here and our guests. I was thinking this afternoon, it was really funny. I was just flipping through Facebook and I saw the name Will Williams. I said, golly, I haven't talked to Will in a month. And I got to see what he's up to. So I called and Will sounded good, like he's healthy, happy, and terrific. I said, Will, you want to come on the show and talk with us a little bit and spread some Christmas joy and cheer? And, Will, what did you say? What did you say to me?
No.
I said, hell yeah.
No.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Well, we're happy to have you, man.
Yeah, we
Will,
yeah,
welcome back.
Thanks for having
me. Missed you, my brother.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, glad to be here with us. And first thing I'm going to ask you, and I don't think I'll get another word in edgewise until I say it's time for the Bridge Lady to come back on. But, Will, what you been up to? In you working on that magnificent boxing documentary. Just share some love with us about it. Where you were in November, and what you've been up to with everything you got going on.
Yeah, so I've been working on the Jack Johnson film about the first African American heavyweight boxing champion of the world, and we've had a lot of success. We've done a lot of interviews at all the different Hall of Fames, but one thing that's really taken off is the exhibit that we have, that's really become a hit. So all these events are inviting us to put on our exhibit with all this Jack Johnson memorabilia and everything. And last month, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last month, my partner on the project, Aaron Snowell, he was inducted into the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. So we went there, and we were able to, first off, it was well-deserved for Aaron. He's trained 27 world champions in his career, one of them being Mike Tyson. And well-deserved, and we were able to get interview footage there of all these elite champions and trainers and promoters. And it's funny, all these events that I've been to, being around all these, you know, famous boxers and everything, the one person that's really, like, made me kind of be starstruck was my favorite band when I was growing up was this reggae band called Steel Pulse. And
oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
I absolutely loved them in high school. And when I went to the ceremony for my buddy, they had us sitting kind of like at wedding receptions. They'll have families sitting together that know each other and stuff. And so Aaron, it was like all his friends that he invited sitting at one table. And I'm sitting down, and next thing I know, the lead singer of Steel Pulse comes and is sitting right next to me eating dinner. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude, do you know how many times I've played your CD in high school doing illegal activities, just hanging out with my friends? But it was, it was just funny because out of all these famous, just boxing royalty that I've been around, the one person that really got me was the person that, nobody even really knew who he was. He was going around asking for everybody's autograph when really he was like the the man.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was really cool. So, and then we also went up to Muhammad Ali's training camp where he trained, and a lot of the other fighters trained back in the day. And that was really cool. Aaron, my partner on the project, he grew up at that training camp right there in the area, and that's kind of how he got his start. When he was a little kid, he was always around Muhammad Ali. So Aaron gave us a tour, and we got footage of everything. It was just great experience. And then next year, well, in April, we're going out to Los Angeles because Jack Johnson will be inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame. But they've asked us to be the ones to induct him. So that's going to be, you know,
awesome
experience.
Tip,
that's
amazing.
It's really cool.
Wow.
It's a project that's it's not – you know, a lot of people kind of, I can see their frustration or hear their frustration sometimes because they're like, man, you've been working on that thing forever. But we all know with art and other things, stuff like, it just always takes longer than what you think. There's so many moving parts. You know,
mm-hmm.
Dave, I'm sure you might feel that way sometimes about writing. Like, sometimes just life gets in the way sometimes, you know. And so, but with this project, it's kind of like it's better for it to take a long time because we wait for this, you know, the next Hall of Fame event to come up, and that way we can, you know, talk to more people, and we just keep building on that. So it's going to take a while, but it'll be worth it.
That's awesome.
Absolutely it will.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to let it cook, man.
Yeah.
Because if you rush it, it'll definitely look rushed in the end. That is for certain.
Yeah, that's true.
Truth.
But it's easy to want to... What's that?
I said, that sounds great. He says it's easy to want to, and I was hanging on every word. Are you there, Will?
Well, I've got
I can hear
like George Bush.
I can hear everybody but
for
John.
Who's passing up candy?
Right. I was putting the horn up to my head, huh?
Is he passing out candy? That's great.
Oh, man, Dave, are you doing an Artie Johnson with the horn up to your head here?
Yeah. Huh? What was that?
You want that Tootsie Roll? Tootsie Roll butterscotch.
No, we want that.
But, you
we want
know,
that
Certs, yes.
The losing your hearing to a certain extent does stink, but losing your hearing on the flip side really ain't that bad of a thing because I don't hear out of the left side of my head. So if I'm tired of hearing something, I just gently kind of just lean on my right ear and everything's just like a muffled rumble and very enjoyable compared to what you got to listen to normally, you know.
So what ear do you hold the phone to when you do the podcast?
Yeah.
Truth be told, I'm trying a new experiment here. I'm taking the earbuds and I'm plugging them into the phone. So I listen with the earbuds, but of course I speak through the phone. But I'm sure I look like John Matuszak's Bigfoot when they were throwing the sonic waves to Bigfoot on the $6 million man. Well, I'm over there doing that. Yeah. Look like Joe Cocker on the front of his greatest hits album where he's doing that, you know.
You are so beautiful to me.
I know.
Can't you see?
Oh, man.
Oh,
I'll tell you what, it is very good to have Will aboard, and I'll tell you what, it does my heart very good to see him carrying on with this project he's on, because I know it's something that means a lot to you, Will, and always has. You got a passion for the sport to start with, and appreciation for it, and now here you are, you're getting to meet these guys, and I guess the biggest thing for me, I know, with after writing the books and meeting people along the way and everything, especially the cast on The Walking Dead, just about every one of them that I've come up on, they are some of the most endearing, appreciative, and just salted earth kind of people, and they just appreciate the fact that you appreciate them. And I'm sure those boxers are the same way, where they're just tickled to death the fact that you're shaking their hand and going, dude. So, yeah, I mean, that to me is kind of the you behave yourself in the dentist chair, you can get something out of the prize box thing. Through all that hard work you do trying to get your project going, it's those handshakes and those moments you get to break bread or have a drink with these guys that, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, you're right. You know what it taught me is that striking up a conversation with one person can lead to so many things, just from, you know, going up to somebody and saying hello. And what I mean by that is Aaron, what happened with him is somebody pointed him out to me one time. It was at a golf course, and there was a golf tournament going on, and he was volunteering, and I heard somebody say, hey, you see that guy over there? He trained Mike Tyson when he lost to Buster Douglas. And I looked over there, and there was just this guy standing there, just, you know, just, you would never know he was who he was. So I went up and started talking to him, and he was just as humble as can be. He was so humble. I've seen it all the time now. If somebody goes up to him and they're like, hey, what's your deal? What did you do? And he's like, oh, I used to train boxers. And they're like, oh, like professional or what? Like anybody I would know? And he's always like, yeah, maybe. Have you ever heard of a guy named Mike Tyson? Like, that's exactly how he says it. And I'm like, dude, just say Mike Tyson. Like, who hasn't heard of Mike Tyson? And, but the way he was, when I first met him, the way he was telling me these stories, I was like, man, this guy is full of shit. There's no way. As calm as he was, I was like, there's no way. So the first thing I did that day as I went home, pulled up YouTube and started like looking up fights, and I'm like, you see, pulling up these fights, and Mike Tyson's walking to the ring, and right beside him is Aaron. I'm like, oh my god, he was actually telling the truth about it. But anyway, after a couple of days of going up to him and talking to him, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna ask this dude to train me. He's a retired trainer, but I'd never boxed or anything at the time. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, who am I to think I can just go up to a guy that's trained 27 world champions and a guy that's never even thrown a punch, and actually think he'll agree to teach me? But I asked him, and I swear, just like, you know, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san and Karate Kid, I got him out at his house, like, doing all this weird stuff. Man, Aaron took it so serious. He was like, yeah, I'll train you. Next thing I know, I'm in his garage. He's got me doing this weird stuff. Like, I didn't even throw a punch for, like, 2 months. He had me, like, doing all this weird stuff. I'm like, dude, I mean, what's next? You're going to ask me to, like, wash the car, like, you know, the wax on, wax off stuff. And, but I swear, I saw how, you know, Karate Kid, there's some truth to it, because when he taught me jump roping and stuff, it all ties in together. Like, once once I got good at jump roping, he, after a couple of months, then he made me lose the rope, and you start moving around like Muhammad Ali. But you know what I mean? But the jump roping teaches you that, but you don't realize that at the time. You just think, like, man, this is pointless. Until it just all starts, like, tying in together. But basically, just me, you know, having the courage to go say hey to this guy, looking back on it, it led to all this, opened all these doors. So it just shows you, like, man, you never know. Just talking to somebody where it's going to go.
Well, you know, it was when we were in Raleigh for the steampunk Mid-Atlantic. I mean, we sat right there, and I think we stared at one another for like 45 minutes, and finally I walked, you know, we walked there and said, "Sup, dude?" And it's been nothing but downhill since there, a couple empty bottles and a couple bad off-color jokes, but I mean, you end up making lifelong friendships, and, you know, it's all out of those things that you... And that's why, you know, you never want to be that guy that goes to his grave going, you know, I always wanted to do this. Yeah, get your tail out there and do it, man, because you're going to find that all the agony that comes with it pays back 100-fold. And,
I mean,
Stroh's a perfect example of it. I mean, here's a guy that's been getting tossed around for the last 30 years and everything, but, I mean, the amount of people...
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, guys that he's broken bread with, guys that he's, you know, had, you know, matches with or just, you know, rode on a plane with and everything. I mean, you hear all the stories that he's got and all. It all came from him making that call. Hey, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do this. So,
yeah,
hats off to you, Will, man. I couldn't be any happier for you. And big tip of the hat, dude.
Thanks, man. It's always nice seeing you, man. I always feel like, you know the cliche, you know, man, it feels like I've known you my whole life, that quote. But I swear when I see you, Dave, it's like I feel like we, you know, two old soldiers telling war stories, you know.
Yeah, so, Dale still thinks we get along a little too well, but that's all right.
Well, this
tell her
where
she gets that idea from.
Well, right.
Well, she can stay home. She can stay home next time.
Oh, man.
And
Will,
yeah, go ahead and pass that along and see how it works for you.
Will, of the new project you're doing now, which we all think is fantastic, what you're doing. I know we all get a little something out of what we do and everything. What are some of the lessons that you've learned from this new project that you've gotten out of it so far?
Well, as far as like personal lessons or about Jack Johnson?
Either way.
Yeah.
Either one.
Mainly that good things take time. You know, like we were talking about earlier, could have rushed into this and tried to throw something together. I mean, we probably got enough quality content to put something together, but it's letting it marinate and, you know, waiting for these, because here's the key. If some of these big names that we're interviewing, if we were to have one of them come, if we were like, hey, so-and-so, will you come do an interview? That would be a lot of money just for one person to, like, because they're going to want, some of them might have to fly in. They need a place to stay. They want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But we wait for these events, and Aaron, he was director of boxing for Don King for 30 years, so everybody already knows him. See, first off, if it was just me doing this project, I wouldn't be able to. Even if I had all the money in the world, it'd be tough for me to even do the things we've been able to do because Aaron is already good friends with pretty much all of them. So he can just say, mm-hmm. hey, can you sit down? So when we go to these Hall of Fame events, there's all these legends right there, and they want to sit down and talk. You know, so they're already there, so we don't have to worry about, you know, the cost of flying somebody in and putting them in a hotel. We've done that for a couple people, but this is a way to knock out so many interviews right there in one spot. And so it's worth the wait for each event because there's always going to be a different, you know, there's always going to be a fresh face coming in that we can interview and basically patience, man. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
I've always wanted. I don't think it's just a natural human want to, you know, have instant gratification. And I've learned with this that just to be patient, let it come in time. That's the biggest thing, biggest lesson I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm laughing because I have no patience, Will.
Oh,
well, I gotta go with I heard what he did there. He was talking about boxers in interviews, and he knocks them out right there. I thought that was well played.
Yeah.
Knocks
yeah.
them out. Nice.
I didn't even realize
okay.
I did that.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd. I didn't hear it either.
All right, listen to the replay. It's there. I heard.
Archive.
I heard
archive.
What you did there.
Go back to the archives.
See, shameless plug. I remember it was a while back we did the, you know, you were on with the podcast and talking about how you were starting the project and bringing visibility, and it felt like it was scratching the surface and just getting there, and now it seems like it's so much more in depth. I'm excited to see what's going to come. And I'm going to touch on something I saw I saw you were listed as our guest tonight, and Dave kind of touched on the subject about the new family member. I hear that you're a recent uncle, Will.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Impressive.
Congratulations.
That's impressive I only have one sibling, a younger sister, and she gave mm-hmm. birth over the weekend to a little baby boy. So
awesome. Congratulations.
Well, congratulations
Congrats,
to all involved.
Thanks a lot. It takes a lot of pressure off me now. So, I feel comfortable with continuing to live the bachelor lifestyle for a while longer now,
mm-hmm.
while my sister just can have all the kids for now.
I'm going to throw out as a parent and an uncle, those are just some great experiences in life. So enjoy them as best you can.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thanks
a lot.
It's still
but
has I gotta a tell
really you,
being a dad rocks.
I bet.
I mean, yeah, there's, I mean, you know, and by the way, Rob turned 20. For those of you who seen Rob when he was, you know, thigh high, he is now a robust 20 years old. He's probably a good 250,
all right.
260. And I'm telling you, one of my favorite titles I've ever had is being a dad, man, because all the rotten things that you can show these guys
I mean, how?
Look, Uncle is awesome. I've touched on it with you guys. The I went to the
two-year-old cool
birthday party. I went to that two-year-old's birthday party and turned him on to the gateway drugs, the pyrotechnics, all those different little things where you can. And by the way, just when you want revenge, Will, you buy the gifts that make noise that do not require batteries. That do not require batteries.
And the bigger they are, the less likely they are to travel with the child. So if you get a big loud noisemaker, it can't travel to visit you.
Yes.
Nice. Man,
yeah, my brother and I, for years when our kids were smaller, we had this competition at Christmas time of who can get the most aggravating toy for each other's kids. And I remember one year I bought all three of his kids those, you know, those recorders. They used to call them like just flute things you got in school when you were a kid. I mean, we did that. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Well, then my brother went to a hockey game.
Drum sets,
and
you name it.
He gave Rob a set of thunder sticks, and I had to go ahead and throw in the towel. I couldn't do it no more.
Thunder sticks.
Again, things that do not require batteries.
Yes.
And it's just...
I know you guys have heard about this, but I just saw this recently. But there is a card you can order online. It will not die until the battery dies. And you can choose what you record to put in it. And you can put it in water and it won't damage it. And you can crush it and it won't damage it. The battery can't die.
Oh, no.
You're welcome. That's my gift to you guys.
Yeah,
I was going to say, just send us, look, you've got all our phone numbers. Just send us a link, just saying.
The gift that keeps on giving. Nice.
Oh, yeah, because most of my nephews already have kids. So, I want to be able to get back on their nerves like I had them get on their parents.
But I can already
my mom's
see it now
in January.
With Will.
Mm-hmm.
Will's sister's going to pick the youngin' up, and she goes, so what did you and Uncle Will do today? And the kid's sitting in the back seat doing armpit farts, you know. Taught me endless love.
Fartomania.
That's it.
Oh, God willing, you got to be able to do all the dad jokes for the kid that dad's not willing to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the bug hits the windshield, you ask the kid, you know why that bug won't do that again? The kid will say no. You say, because it ain't got the guts.
I would have been like, well, because he's dead. That's why. But I guess that makes me different.
What was the last thing that went through that bug's mind? His ass.
I've been a man a few times over. I've got this down.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Being an uncle's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But also,
and just every time you get grief for it, just remind your sister, you remember when, and just, you know, use those things. Just saying. But always have an explanation of why this will, whatever you bought the child will develop the child.
Good excuse.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah. And look, altruism has its benefits.
Man, I know not to ever get on your bad side. All you guys would kill me in a prank war, it sounds like.
Now,
you guys know
like
all the secrets
I want to get into.
Be like a big roast, wouldn't it, Will?
Yeah.
You know you've been got when you find a big pocket full of glitter.
Uh-oh, the glitter queen. Yeah.
That's our girl. Hey, Will. Yeah, I was going to say, Will, just send the nephew Zandy to Liz.
As Dusty would say, the glitter queen is struck again, baby.
I love it.
I'm terrified of glitter. I can't stand glitter. Problem is with it is that when it gets on you, I don't care how many showers. I mean, somebody could hit you with a pressure washer, and you'll walk in front of a mirror, and that'd be that blue little fleck that hits the damn lights, and you're like, God!
Once you go glitter, baby.
It's all over.
You're gone glitter. And that's it. That's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Dave, just a hint.
Yeah.
Use water-soluble lubricants.
I think that's the first time the word lubricant's ever been used on this show, Todd. Well done.
Someone speaking from experience. How many strip clubs have you gone to, pal?
With glitter involved.
Not the ones with the loose change.
That's a different kind of glitter. That's a different kind of glitter.
Yeah.
Years ago, we had to sign like 200 Christmas cards at work, and me and one of the other managers were sitting there, and we went up there in one of the offices.
Why
and sat
do I
down
already know which one it is?
Well, actually, it was Donnie. I don't know if you remember Donnie or not, but we went up. And they've been chasing us down to sign these cards, but unfortunately, we've been too busy working to sign any cards. So it finally came down to me and him, and they're like, look, go sign these cards so we can go ahead and get them. I was like, all right. So we go up there in the office, me and him sitting there side by side, and we're just signing away, you know, as quick as we can so we get back to work. And both of us are wearing black pants, and I happen to glance down, and I says, oh, Jesus. And he says, what? I says, look at your pants. Man, we had a whole lap full of blue, silver, white glitter where it had been rubbing off these Christmas cards onto our britches while we were signing. And
oh,
I says, all right, here's the plan.
So I got to ask, how did Dale take that?
Well, that's just it. I said, okay, you call Dale and I'll call Dayona and we'll work this out and let them know, you know, we were signing Christmas cards. You know, it's I don't know
right.
How many times I walked those bridges and still had
story.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell the story because Liz didn't hear it before. But there are things that you can do that are behaved and honest, and things will go downhill rapidly. Liz, I'm up here doing the Geographic Bachelor thing.
Uh-huh.
With this job, and so the wife and the family are in a whole nother state, that kind of thing. And I went and I hit one of those fireworks places near July 4th,
uh-huh.
And because because I wanted to when I went over to my to a friend's house with their nearly 2-year-old. For July 4th, I wanted to turn that little one on to the gateway drugs of pyrotechnics, you know, sparklers.
Absolutely.
And the poppers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, that
like
was
you.
All great. I spent $15.42, and this little place
oh, wow.
could not print the receipt, so they sent the receipt in my email. Keep in mind, I'm away from the wife and the family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the return address on the email was the Boom Boom Room.
Oh, no.
The Boom Boom.
The Boom Boom Room. Would my wife look at the dollar value on the email? Absolutely not. I already knew. It actually posted in my junk mail. I had already had pictures and sent them to my son. When I saw it, I said, dude, look what I scored for $15.42, you know, that kind of thing.
And so I moved the email from my junk mail to my main mail because wife's got the Addy on that one because she helps with the bills, that kind of thing. And I knew. So all I got was the reply is, what the hell is a boom boom room? Oh, yeah. I knew that the Kobayashi Maru was not just true story. You can't make this stuff up. It was the boom boom room. And she didn't look at the dollar value and say, clearly you had two drinks and left. No.
You got that discount last night, buddy. That's where the glitter came from.
Right?
Hey, now.
Right?
And that's what you sent was the tip, baby.
I only had the tip left for my card. Uh-huh. The rest was cash. That's what it was. Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. It just... What do you do? I figured you'd like that story, Liz.
It could have taken a sour turn. You could have been like, well, that was the last weekend I was married. But it actually turned around to a positive story where you laughed.
Ah. Oh, yeah. Oh, look. And I still got to turn the kid on to the gateway drugs, pyrotechnics.
Perfect. So then you won on all accounts. That's awesome.
There we go. And I got a story.
All right.
Yes, a priceless one.
Priceless.
I think so. Boom,
well,
boom, boom. Oh, yeah. I told my son when I saw that stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, your mom's going to kill me because I did this. Because he didn't spend anything. I said, yeah, wait till you see the Addy. And he just laughed at me. And he said, you're on your own. Gee, thanks.
That's what your partner in crime there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez,
we'll let you sink.
Oh, Lord.
We're still recovering from the boom boom.
Zoom, 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 and a boom boom. Shake your rump.
Yeah.
I think everyone's just trying to take a siesta down to memory lane for a moment. Everybody kind of got quiet. Had one time.
Need a fiesta.
The boom boom room.
Yeah, one time.
Everybody's got a boom boom story. I mean, they do. If you don't, you're lying.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And some of them involve the batteries and some of them don't. Just saying.
That's with or without you.
You know, it's good to share stories, and it is the Christmas season for sure. And I want to see if we've all got, you know, I'm going to keep pulling these out until the New Year's show. You know, do we have any more good Christmas stories or holiday stories? Those are always fun to share. And all right, somebody go first. Who's got a good holiday story that they haven't told? I'm going to have to come up with one right now myself. Will, I tell you what, you get kicked off because you're our guest. Do you have a good holiday story that you can share with us? What's funny, good, bad, or indifferent, or whatever?
I'll tell you my most memorable Christmas. When I was probably about 13, I already knew about Santa and everything, but my sister was younger, and she still believed. And our parents always struggled, but for some reason around Christmas, they always hooked us up compared to, you know, our other friends. So our other friends would be, you know, jealous of us at Christmas time, but my sister asked for all this stuff, and things on the list was a go-kart. And I wanted a pellet gun and some
great
other things.
Great combination.
Yeah. And I knew my sister wouldn't get the go-kart because it was just, you know, my parents weren't going to be able to get it. And, well, we opened all our presents, and I didn't even get the pellet gun, so I was kind of depressed, but of course I wasn't trying to, you know, let my parents see that I was upset. But I had another old pellet gun, and after we opened our presents, I said, I'm going to go outside and shoot this a little bit. And I got all dressed up, put my boots on. And right when I walked into the grass, well, this is what they kind of got inspired by it, I think. When I walked outside, I looked in the grass, and there was a go kart, and there was a box in the seat, and in the box was the pellet gun that I wanted. And the funny thing about it is, you know, you would. I never would have thought my parents would have got the go-kart. And my sister, she ran up to it all excited and everything. And she noticed that it was, you know, it wasn't brand new. It was a used go-kart. And she was like, hey, Santa brought me a used go-kart. Why would he do that? It's used. And, I mean, it's funny looking back on it, but it was just... I mean, she ended up loving it, but it was just funny that she noticed that instead of being all excited at first. But
wow.
That was probably my most memorable, you know, the most sentimental thing when I look back, you know. So
really, that's a real deal story. That is a real deal story, dude.
Yeah, yeah, it's always love telling that one.
It
kind of sort of reminds me of one. Just my younger brother, I had
God, this must have been 74, 75, somewhere around there. The one of my older brothers, actually, you know, he had a real job. He's sitting there and he's out working security with an airport, stuff like that. And, you know, he wanted to have a Christmas to remember. And he got stupid with us. And, I mean, just a ton of little stuff. And he bought, like, some big stuff. And, I mean, it was like, the action figures that my brother wanted and this and that, the other thing. My little brother had the audacity to turn around and say, I didn't get enough. I was like, holy crap.
Uh-oh. No, geez.
Well, yeah, true story. He sure did. He sure did. And that was probably one of the single best Christmases we ever had, you know, as far as the haul from Santa. I mean, like, you're kidding me. And sure enough, I got the Crossman 760 Power Master that year. I remember the pellet gun.
Mm-hmm.
By model. Let me tell you. You only needed 5 pumps to take a bird off the neighbor's freaking TV antenna the bad thing was, their TV antenna was above their chimney.
Oh, wow.
When the bird dropped down the chimney, things went downhill rapidly.
Oh man.
Come down chimney rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Gravity, thou art a brutal mistress. Oh, yeah, true story. Oh, yeah. God, I've got so much trouble with that.
I came home from college and for Christmas, and so it was Christmas time, and there was two presents under the trees, and I didn't get one. And my parents said, "Well, you know, we just didn't have any money this year, so, but it's all good, and we're just here, we love each other." And I said, "Sure, it's great." So then my dad and I, it was kind of a nice Christmas day. We went up to golf to play golf, and I was just a little confused. I mean, you know. And so we got out there, and my dad hauled out this golf bag with a
brand new set of golf clubs. I said, oh, did you get some new golf clubs? And he put them on my side of the golf court. He said, court cart. And he said, no, son, Paul's brought these.
Uh-huh.
So I think they just wanted to see how I'd react, and I was confused. I didn't know what to say, but I was nice about it. I bought them some Christmas presents, and I didn't know what was going. And that's back when, I mean, listen, golf clubs back then cost $1,000, and all of a sudden I figured out, golly, I got the best Christmas present of all. So it was just great, you know. So I think parents sometimes want to see how you will react, and so I think I did okay. It would have been embarrassing if I'd have said anything, but I just went right along. So it was interesting. Anybody got another? Anybody else got a story? Dave or Papa Strode?
Well,
you got one.
Can I add to mine?
Hey, go right on ahead.
So back to the go kart. My sister ended up not even really using it that much, but and my dad. He was kind of strict about it. And at the time, my dad was really overweight. And I thought my dad didn't like the thing. Well, come to find out, I had people telling me that lived down the road. They were like, man, during the day sometimes we'll see your dad zipping across the street in the go-kart, just like flying all around, zigzagging. So here we were thinking that he never even had anything to do with it, but on his lunch break, he'd come home and be ripping it up in that thing.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Heck of a Christmas present there. It really is.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good one.
Parents find a way to make gifts interactive. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a good one.
I have one year when I was, I think I was about 16 years old. And the same way with my folks, they always seem to put on the dog at Christmas time, you know. And this is back when, of course, the family only had two phones, one upstairs, one downstairs, the one hanging on the wall in the kitchen, and then the rotary phone in Mom and Dad's room, you know. So, you know, if I wanted to talk to any of the chicks, I had to go sit there in Mom and Dad's room. Of course, when, you know, Mom and Dad walked in, I had to go hang the phone up, you know. It was a rough life back then. But I'm sitting there on the phone with this chick, and I'm laying there on the floor. You know how it is when you're talking, you lay there on the floor, and you turn around this way, and turn around that way, you know. Well, I happened to glance over, and under my mother's bed was a bag full of Christmas stuff, right? And I see certain things that I had asked for, certain cassettes. Yeah, we had cassettes then, and all that kind of stuff, and I saw this, and I was like, ah, crud, you know. Well, now I know what I'm getting, you know. Well, cool, at least I'm getting this, I'm getting that. Well, the last five things I opened that year were the five things that I knew I was getting, and it totally blew the whole excitement out of the thing. I mean, I was glad I got the stuff, but the whole wow and the whole yes was already gone. So to this day, you can walk by me with a Christmas present in your hand, and I will pull my head up into my shirt so I don't see it. I am so easy to – you don't even have to hide things from me. All you have to do is say, hey, I put your Christmas present in that cabinet, and I don't care if there's 50,000 pounds of gold in there. I won't go in that cabinet because I won't spoil the surprise, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Well – I tell you what, the British lady has told me that we got about 45 seconds. Papa Strode, you got a quickie, and then we'll just say goodnight to everybody.
Oh,
Papa
gee,
Strode,
thanks. Give
one?
Me the quickie. Oh, you're in the doghouse now. All right, here's the quickie.
Well, the quickie sounds like my sex life.
Oh, Jesus. All right. You're
doing it right.
Okay, here it is. I wrestled Santa Claus before, okay? I actually wrestled Santa Claus. These little elves was running around. Oh, yeah. They try to interfere. I slam one elf on top of the other, on top of Santa Claus. They're bouncing off his belly, right? So they get outside the ring. They see Dorothy in the crib, in the stroller, right, outside. So they're hauling it to the back. They're scared to death. So I'm still in the ring with Santa Claus. He tries to gets out his bag of goodies, swings at me, right? I duck it. I flip over him. On my way down, I pants him right in front of everybody. So he gets so embarrassed, he throws his naked carcass out of the ring, and you all saw his cheeks streaking to the back, and they count him out. And that was the end of that.
Awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Keith. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you guys next week with another guest. Some more Christmas cheer and everything on Pop Culture Stars. See y'all next week.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you,
Merry
everyone.
Great.